Welcome to the Crossroads Career Podcast, a show where we help you hear God calling, get the right job, and maximize your potential through inspiring stories of individuals and professionals who've experienced a crossroads in their career.
Well, welcome to the Crossroads Career Podcast. My name is Tim, and today we have the privilege of having Harry Urschel with us. So meet Harry. He is the recruiter extraordinaire who spent 30 years matching talent with companies like a corporate matchmaker, but with fewer awkward first dates. Harry helps lead the Minnesota Crossroads Career Network, where he transforms job hunting anxiety into actual employment. So think of him as a career whisperer, if you will. So Harry, welcome to the program.
Tim, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you. And, tell us, what does life look like for you now?
I never thought of myself as the career whisperer. I'm going to have to adopt that somehow. I like it. As you mentioned, I've been recruiting for over 30 years and have really loved my career. But frankly, the things I do on a volunteer basis with Crossroads has been even more energizing for me. I really enjoy that a lot. But I've started recruiting actually 38 years ago, and I've recruited engineers, I've recruited IT people, I've recruited accounting and finance people. The last several years, though, has been in retained executive search. And so that's been just C-level positions at companies all over the area. And haven't specialized in that case in a specific industry or field or a functional area, but our approach had been a little bit different that kind of transcended that. My business partner, though, took an early retirement last year. And so this past year, my career has been much more loose, and I've been working independently as a recruiter still. I have some clients that have reached out to me. I do an extensive amount these days of executive outplacement coaching through a firm here locally and in the Minneapolis area. And I do some consulting with a company that is in the job space as well. And I do some strategic development work with them. And so it's been a real mix. And I don't know what the rest of my year looks like. It doesn't feel real sustainable. It just has been floating in, and I'm grateful. It's been a good year this past year, but I'm not sure how long that's going to sustain itself. So we'll see what the future holds. I may be looking for a job too. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, I mean, 30 years, that's a long time in HR. I mean, you've seen significant shifts, right, in the marketplace and in how people search and how people find jobs. Even retained search is almost a bit of a lost art, right? With all the online tools today, and you're just a number, an algorithm, I would think that there could be still a great benefit in people finding people. So tell me about that.
Agreed. You know, I think for an awful lot of companies, it's not hard to get a lot of applicants for a job. It's hard to winnow that down to find the right person for the organization. And so, particularly at the C-level positions that they may have, it becomes a big challenge, because obviously a person has to have the right experience and knowledge and background to do a particular job. But much more importantly, especially at that level, but at every level, the cultural fit, the values fit, the fit in terms of being able to form the right work relationship is so critically important. And that's where I think I've been able to help companies the most.
Bring value. Yeah. Well, and it's not just for C-level people. I mean, let's talk about values. That's a huge one when you're talking about job seekers, right? You know, lots of people, they get out of work,
absolutely,
fear hits them, and then they just want to get the anything job, right? And then they forget about this values, right, piece. So how important is that in the job search compared to the other, parameters you're looking for?
You know, I personally believe it is the most important factor in terms of success at an organization or not. The statistics for retained executive search for C-level roles is terrible. Firms that people that are placed by firms into companies across the board, the average is 50 to 60% of those people are not in their jobs in 18 months, within 18 months. And that's awful, especially considering how terribly expensive it is. For our firm, our track record was a 97% retention rate in that period of time. And the difference is really values. And, you know, every firm will and recruiter will tell you that, tell a company that they try to match people to their culture. But primarily they do assessment tests, personality assessments, and maybe some task assessments. But it's not about personality. You can have very different personalities work together as long as they share the same values and vision of where they're going. And that doesn't get addressed very well. And there are no assessments that can really tell you, does this person really share the same values? Mm-hmm. It's really, you have to have those conversations to really get to know each other and be transparent. And that's what we've primarily focused on, is coaching both the employer and the candidates on how to ask better questions of each other and really get to understand who this person is, beyond just what have they done and what can they do for us or what have they achieved. It's much more about the hows and whys than it is the whats in the process.
Yeah, well,
and as a candidate looking for a job, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the interview process is not just one way. I think that's a misnomer, right? I'm looking for a job.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be interviewed by this person. And then I come completely ill-prepared because I don't have questions to interview them. Like I don't really know what they want or the values that that company has. If they said yes and they wanted to hire me, I'd take it. It seems like it's a little backwards.
Absolutely. And, you know, I get it. You know, I mean, sometimes people are in a financial situation that they just have to take a job right now to get a paycheck going again. And I can respect that.
Yeah.
But they should go into each role or company with their eyes wide open of what they're actually signing up for. And if they're not asking questions during the interview process, they really don't know. And so the best interviews, I believe, are constant dialogue, asking questions both ways, not just waiting till the end of the interview when the employer says, do you have any questions for us? And then you have time for one or two questions at best. It should be asking questions in both directions throughout the interview. It makes you as a candidate stand out, but you learn a lot more and can make better decisions for yourself in that process.
Back to the matchmaking, right? You know, wouldn't that be weird if you were like dating someone or looking to date someone, and they were the only one that was asking you questions, and you were sitting there answering everything. And at the end of the date, you're like, I have no idea who this person is because they were asking me all the
exactly.
questions.
Yeah. Exactly. It's now, unfortunately, that sometimes does happen in dating too, but it's not a good idea. And it's also not a good idea in the employment process.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you mentioned that this year is a little bit different, right? You know, you might be even looking for a job. I'm curious, and we ask most everybody this, you know, tell us a time where you were unemployed or unfulfilled in your work. If you think back right over your 30, 40 year career, what was the time that you were either one of those two and what happened during that time?
Yeah. Well, my career has been, most of the years of my career, I was self-employed with my own. I owned search firms twice, once for 10 years, once for 7 years. And in between that, I did independent consulting. I did, I worked as a full-time employee for other firms. And I've been let go. I've been fired. I've left on my own. My businesses have gone up and down at different times. And so certainly have felt the same, sometimes discouragement or despair when I'm not sure what the future holds or what happens next. And, you know, probably the most dramatic time for me by far was I owned my own firm for 10 years. And in the middle of that was, the Great Recession from 2008 through 2010. Yes. Yeah. And the recruiting business can be brutal during recessions. And I had been through previous recessions before, but never anything that deep and that long. And it was devastating to us financially, even though I had my own business, money wasn't coming in. And I was for over a year writing checks to the business to keep everything afloat, and we lost virtually everything personally. And for me, it really became a time of seeking God like I'd never done before. I was waking up at 4 o'clock every morning and going down to our family room and reading scripture as much as I could take in and hours and on the floor in prayer. And it was a way that God really showed himself to me during that time. I think, you know, when we think we've got things under control, whether health-wise or financially or relationally or whatever it is, it's pretty easy to put God on the back burner and say, I'll get to you when I need you. But when you've got nothing left, when you don't know what else you can do, then he shows up in great ways. Because I think otherwise we tend to, you know, I'm a pretty resilient guy and always think I have another gear I can shift down to and pull myself out of whatever situation I'm in. But, and so if he would do something when I'm in that state of mind, it's easy for me to say, well, I pulled that out. And instead, I think when we've got nothing is when he shows up, and then it's his glory. He knows it's clear that nothing could have happened without him in that situation. And he did. He didn't provide everything we wanted or needed, but he showed up and provided, kept us from falling through the ice is probably.
Yeah. So you didn't go bankrupt. You were not homeless. You didn't go without a meal. Correct. I mean,
right. I mean, there were times, it got to the point where we thought we're going to lose the house, but we didn't. And, there were times when, okay, we're going to have to make grocery shopping trip a little lighter this week than normal. But, and our kids were young and at home at that time. And it was a tough time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious about how did they see mom and dad, right? You know, they're watching you doing this. And as we know, kids are a lot more observant than we realize. So, you know, what do you think they were seeing with you guys during this transition? You know, did they see a mom and dad that were desperate or anxious? You know, what was your relationship with your wife during that time? You know, unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I've been, this is one of the things that is such a paradox. I would never want to have to go through what we did there again. And yet I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. It was a time of faith formation for my wife and I and for our kids, like nothing could have happened without the circumstances we were in. It was really an incredible time of us drawing closer together. I'm incredibly blessed with my wife that she didn't see this as a reason to be to alienate herself from me or to be angry. It was, we're going to pull together and we're going to see God. And we did. And our kids saw that and their own faith. And I mean, week after week, God was showing up in ways that were just so unexpected. And it was, we would think, can you imagine how this just happened that got us through another month or something? And it would blow our minds what God did. And our kids just kind of came to the point of, well, that's what God does, isn't it? And that we don't want them to take it too lightly, but they just saw how God acted in our lives and what he did. And each of them, they're all grown and married now. And I'm just incredibly grateful. Each of them are following hard after God and have a deep faith. And it was, I believe, formed during those years more than anything else in their lives. And it, like I said, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, no doubt that had a big impact on their faith and their little hearts, right, as you're doing that. I mean, our kids are very observant about everything. And when we put God, you know, first and see that transformation happen, it's significant. And they have an opportunity to see God is real. And we should see this on a regular basis, right? We should be seeing miracles regularly. Like, this is the normal of the kingdom. And if you're in a job search right now, and you're discouraged and not where you want to be, right? This is a great time for you to dig deeper into God's word, like Harry did, and get in that basement, get in that family room, and spend more time with God and his word, which is going to transform you and renew you. And I guess, Harry, that's another great question to follow up is what kind of practical tips would you give to people in that Bible study time, right? So obviously, if you're unemployed or you have not much going on, you have time, right? So, or supposedly right. You have time. So did you memorize scripture? Did you read a chapter a day? Did you do a proverb? Like, tell us your routine, I guess, and how God met you there.
During that time, I was hungry for the word like I've never been before. And so I actually ended up reading through the whole Bible in 3 months. But oh, wow. That was pretty intense, right? But since then, I go through a Bible in a year reading plan every year. And so every year since then, I've been through it. And as a kind of an accountability for myself and for the benefit of my family, I have a group text with my kids and my sons-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and my wife. And I just send them a text each day of what God's showing me out of the word today. And it's been just a great points of conversation for our family. And it keeps me focused on what are you teaching me today? I think though, you know, the thousands of people that have come through our local Crossroads group here over the years and people I've encountered through my work as a recruiter, I've seen people go divergent directions with their faith during those times of crisis in their lives. They either lean into and pursue and seek God in fresh new ways, or they are angry at him and alienate themselves from him or push him away. And I think that's a tragedy when that happens, because he will walk with you and will never forsake you when we seek him. And I think leaning in, hearing from him through his word, spending time in prayer, spending time just earnestly looking. You can't artificially make that desperation up. And sometimes I feel, you know, that those sweet times I had with God during that, those times of desperation, I miss that to a degree, but he doesn't want us to live in desperation all the time. He wants us to acknowledge who he is and seek him. But, you know, there's going to be highs and lows in our spiritual fervor as time goes on. But, it's like I say, it was a very sweet time from that perspective.
Yeah, there's a great book that I like called Hiddenness and Manifestation. So there's kind of these two seasons in life where sometimes there's hiddenness, right? And you feel like God's hidden himself from you. And it's really that season of deep, right? Going after God, pursuing him. And maybe you don't feel him or hear him as much, but you know he's there. Right? There's evidence and proof that you see he's there. And then you have this manifestation season where everything is good, right? Like you can't say no to anything. You know, contracts are coming in, money's flowing, relationships are good, right? And sometimes though, in that manifestation season, you're not as attentive to God because you're just busy, right? With life and success and all this stuff. So I agree with you. I mean, some of my favorite seasons were in the hiddenness when that difficult time and the trudging it out. And I remember sitting here in my office just, okay, God, you're going to have to bring in business. What do I do? You know, and he would say, all right, just pray. And after like an hour of praying, which seems like an eternity, then I was just twiddling my thumbs thinking, all right, what do I do next? You know, and those times are really precious, though. I think back and I'm like, man, I really wish I had that time again with him. So you're absolutely right that these times as a job seeker are really critical as you're doing this. Because the reality is, folks, you're not going to be unemployed forever. And we know that, right? This season will pass. You will get a job and then you're going to be busy again. And you're going to get into this manifestation season again, and which is going to be wonderful and great. But we don't want to miss that opportunity that you have right now to spend another 30 minutes with God, maybe another, you know, hour in the Word each day.
When we pursue him, he shows up. And once you sense his presence and get that understanding that he is alive and active in your life, it changes you forever and you can never deny him again. And I don't wish desperate times on anyone, but yeah. If that's what it takes for them to really understand who he is, then I hope people experience that.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's switch over to your HR hat for a moment in terms of, you know, the current market right now. There's kind of a lot going on, especially with the change right. in the political structure and the environment, with AI going at breakneck speeds. And, you know, the job seeker is sitting there thinking, well, how do I stay relevant, right? How do I become available for the next opportunity out there? So I guess that's the great question is, what advice from an HR perspective would you have for that job seeker who's trying to figure out, you know, how do I not be replaced by AI, but complement it potentially? And what advice would you give to those people?
Yeah, I don't know if I have great answers for that. It is difficult because it's a very quickly changing landscape. And so it's still hard to predict, you know, what are those jobs that are going to be in greater demand or are going to fall off. And I think keeping an ear to the market and seeing where trends are and trying to gain new training and opportunities to do projects in areas that are growing is always a good idea, regardless of what field you're in. And frankly, one of the challenges, I mean, for decades, young people were told, you know, learn how to code, be a software engineer or a developer, mm-hmm. and you're always going to have opportunities. And for the first time this past year, I've seen entry-level software engineers have a hard time landing jobs because the AI sure. has replaced some of that. And I think there's going to be additional changes. So, you know, I'm not a great forecaster to say this is where things are going to be hot. Certainly AI is, and that's going to create jobs, but I don't think anybody has a good beat on exactly what those jobs look like yet. And so I think staying in tune to the market when you're in a job, you know, particularly people that have been in one company for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years and been doing similar work all that time without really developing new skills are probably going to face the greatest challenges in a job search. So always try to be, even if the company doesn't give you opportunities to, always try to be gaining new training and development. There's so much free resources yes. available online, whether it's just on YouTube or so many other places that you can get training and courses that can keep your skills sharp and current.
And that's probably great advice. You know, I think back to the changes over the last 30 years, right? You know, there was social media, right? And that whole movement. Then there's this AI, and then there's, you know, the dot-com stuff back in 2000s. And there's always something that is pushing innovation right. and pushing things. So it sounds like the advice is almost the same for job seekers, right? Stay aware, stay educated, right? And see how you can keep yourself relevant in the marketplace, correct?
Exactly. Exactly. It's, you know, and you can do all the right things and still be stuck. I mean, it just is the nature of the world. And, you know, layoffs are commonplace. And you think you're going to be at one organization for a very long time. And the average job is less than 4 years these days. And I know that sounds discouraging to many people, but it should also wake you up to know that I have to remain employable because, you know, I get this new job and it could happen that you stay there for the next 10 or 15 or 20 years, but it's much more likely that 3 to 5 or 6 years from now, you're going to be looking for something else again. And so in order to improve both this and the next job search, you want to stay current and marketable.
Yeah, that's great. So last question for you on this episode would be, you know, what advice did you get along the way in your career, right? As God was moving you and shifting you into this HR spot, and then you started your own company and these kind of things. But thinking about some advice that was given to you that made a big difference, right? Somebody sat down with you and said this statement and it got you really thinking, right? Or it moved you in a specific way that had a positive result. So I'm guessing you have something, right?
Yeah, you know, I think I've been fortunate to have just worked with good people along the way, and I learned how to do my business in ways that are very relational. I mean, the more it touches on relationships with people, the more satisfying it's been for me. And I think the more successful I've been able to become as well. It's, you know, recruiting, like many other businesses and people in other fields, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? Is that there's a lot of bad recruiters out there. There's a lot of great recruiters out there, and there's everything in between. And sometimes the bad ones kind of tarnish the reputation of others. Mm. But I think there's a lot of people that do this business very transactionally. You know, it's just moving bodies in their mind, or, you know, doing what's necessary only to get a fee. But I love building relationships and understanding what people's motivations are and how I can help them achieve their goals. And the more I dive into that, I think it's a more satisfying and better process for everyone involved, for the employers I work with, for the candidates that are looking for new jobs, and certainly for me. And so, and I think that's true in any field you're in, whether you're an accountant or an engineer or in marketing, or the more you can make it about people and relational, it becomes more satisfying, but you're going to be more successful in the long run as well.
Yeah.
I've had some great people I've worked with that did their work that way, and it really rubbed off on me, and I learned a lot from that.
Hmm. Yeah. Usually it's by osmosis, right? As we get this advice and these things come along in our career. Sometimes it is something that somebody says right directly, but lots of times it's just over time with consistency and patience, the Lord, you know, matures you, just like our spiritual walk, right, with Him. So, well, Harry, thank you so much for your time today. Just a pleasure to hear your story about how God moved in your life, and then also just encouraging other job seekers that, you know, we need to get in God's word. We need to hang out with Him more during this season of unemployment or transition, and that He will make a way for us. So appreciate you on the podcast today.
It's a pleasure. I always love reconnecting with you, and glad to have the conversation.
Looking for guidance in your career? Our Crossroads guides are ready to help. Set up a complimentary call now by visiting our website, crossroadscareer.org. Thanks for listening.